The Supreme Court begins a new term today. The justices will be live in the courtroom for the first time since the pandemic began. But that is just one thing that makes the term distinct. Another is the cases the justices have chosen to hear. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The docket for this term is a humdinger, with major cases involving the biggest social issues of the day: abortion, guns, separation of church and state, and potentially affirmative action in higher education. Supreme Court advocate Tom Goldstein is publisher of SCOTUS Blog, the leading insider's guide to the high court.
Every few years we say this is the time where we're going to see the radical conservative take over the Supreme Court in American law, and this time we really mean it. The court has both a changed composition. It has six really solid conservative members, and it has decided to put on the docket and front and center massive social issues that it has ducked in the past because it couldn't get five solid conservative votes to change the law. And now it looks like it may be time.
The issues before the court are not a haphazard collection. Rather, they were deliberately selected by the court's new conservative supermajority with an eye to chipping away at or outright overruling nearly 50 years' worth of abortion decisions, for instance, or expanding other decisions like those protecting gun rights and religious rights. No outcome, of course, is a sure bet. But it isn't just activists on one side or another who seem rattled. Listen, for instance, to the laid-back and normally noncommittal Irv Gornstein, director of the Supreme Court Institute at Georgetown University Law Center.
I think we may have come to a turning point. If within a span of 2 to 3 terms, we see sweeping right-side decisions over left-side dissents on every one of the most politically divisive issues of our time, voting, guns, abortion, religion, affirmative action.
The perception of the court, he warns, may be permanently altered.
It is all well and good for justices to tell the public that their decisions reflect their judicial philosophies, not their partisan affiliation. But if right-side judicial philosophies always produce results favored by Republicans, and left-side judicial philosophies always produce results favored by Democrats, there is little chance of persuading the public there is a difference between the two.
4 of the court's 9 members have preached the nonpartisan message in speeches over the last month, but it doesn't seem to be working. The court, in 2 major and reputable polls, has taken a big hit. A Gallup poll, for instance, found that public approval of the court's job performance slid to a new low of 40%, including, quote, less than a majority of Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Pollsters indicate that some of this precipitous decline occurred after the court allowed a Texas law banning all abortions after 6 weeks to go into effect. Because the law was written to make it difficult to challenge in court, the 5 justices in the majority said this was not the time to examine it. But that did not change the fact that the court, through its decision not to intervene, has allowed almost all abortions to be banned in Texas. At the same time, the court is scheduled to hear arguments in December testing a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks. That time frame is a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade and subsequent decisions, which declared that women have a constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy up to the point when the fetus can survive outside the womb at about 24 weeks. There are multiple ways the court could decide the Mississippi case, narrowly or broadly. Narrowly might stave off a major backlash in public opinion, but however the court rules, even partial steps to undo Roe would be analogous to what happens to a frog tossed into water heating up on the stove. He doesn't know when he's cooked. If abortion represents nearly a half century of Supreme Court precedents, guns do not. In 2008, the court ruled for the first time that people have a constitutional right to have a gun in their homes for self-defense. But beyond that principle, for all practical purposes, the court went silent. Now, for the first time in more than a decade, the court has accepted a major challenge to existing gun laws, specifically laws that restrict the ability to carry guns outside the home. Supreme Court advocate Roman Martinez notes that the text of the Second Amendment does protect the right to keep and bear arms, but he also points to the historical record dating back to the time of the founding.
The state actually puts forward a lot of evidence showing that that really there were these restrictions on the right to carry arms outside of the home.
After guns this term, there is religion. In particular, restrictions on taxpayer aid to religious schools. Before the court is a case from Maine where more than half the towns are too small to have a public school. So, under the state law, the towns contract with a nearby public school or a private school to take their students, or the town can pay the tuition at a public or private school that a parent chooses. There is one exception. Tuition can only be paid to a non-sectarian school so that, according to the state, taxpayer dollars are not used to fund religious education. In another religion case, the court will review a Boston, Massachusetts policy against flying religious flags over the city. Both cases are a mark of profound change at the court. For generations, the justices did erect a high wall of separation between church and state. But as the court has grown more conservative, it has increasingly viewed these restrictions as discriminating against religion. SCOTUS blog's Goldstein notes that the conservative justices could face competing concerns this term. One concern is that if public confidence in the court as an institution dissipates, the other two branches could launch a counter-revolution to change the structure and makeup of the court. That would seem to be a long way off for now. But as Goldstein observes,
the conservatives feel very strongly about this stuff. They really do think that Roe is wrongly decided, that there are too few gun rights and there's too much separation between church and state.
So hold on to your hats. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.